We're now going to break open God's word together, and Lorraine is going to come and read to us from Luke's gospel. We're working our way through Luke, and so you don't always get to choose the passages that you do. You do the kind of next bit, and all sorts of things come up with that, and some graphic images in the stories that Jesus is going to tell. So let's, if you've got a Bible, if you've got the YouVersion app, you can open that. It's on the events page, and follow through.
So we're reading from Luke 12, starting at verse 35, and it's Jesus speaking. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like servants, waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked.
Amen. Thank you. A few graphic images there. May not tackle everything, all the questions that arise in your minds. But do you know what? I'm always in awe of people like nurses and doctors, those who work on the railway tracks or in warehouses right through the night. How on earth do they manage? excuse me. How do they manage to keep awake when everything within them is crying out, sleep, sleep, sleep? How do you do that? And in today's passage, Jesus tells three stories. In the first one, the workers had nothing to do. They had nothing specific to do other than stay awake. They're waiting through the night for their master to get back from a wedding party. Poor, you know, that must be some wedding party. Anyway, they've got their robes tied up, we're told. Do you remember Simon's lesson on girding your loins? You know, in the ancient world and folding up the clothes under your belt so you're ready for action. That was when we were going through Ephesians 6 and everything. They were ready for action. Their wicks are trimmed and the lamps constantly replenished with oil, hour after weary hour. Impressive. They're awake. They're watchful, ready to serve. The readiness, the watchful, those words, you might have circled them in your mind as you went through. And we're told that the boss man, when he gets back, he's so pleased with the way that they're ready to serve that he serves them for being so attentive and ready. That's the first. And then in the second, you've got this tale of a thief coming at an unexpected time, not when you expect. And Jesus doesn't spend long on this. He just says to his disciples that you must be ready, he said. You must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. All right, getting that message. Have you noticed the word watchfulness, readiness, and It's an unexpected time. We need to capture something of that. Then the third short tale. Two stewards are mentioned here in contrast. One in charge of an ancient household with other servants. One of them, the master returns and finds that steward looking after the other servants, feeding them and doing all the good stuff that they've been told to do. They've been called the faithful and wise manager. The faithful and wise manager. And yet you get this massive contrast between that one and then the steward number two. Steward number two is mistreats the very servants that he's supposed to care and provide for when the master's not around to do that. And he's going to be in trouble, big trouble. You know, steward number two underestimates the suddenness of his master's return. All right, he's kind of switched off, or he's so complacent. And the trouble he's going to be in is very graphic anyway. So how much better it ends to be found doing the master's will. And the reminder that those who've been entrusted much is expected of them and so on. Well, we'll unpack that. But first of all, verse 41, Peter, after the first couple of stories, Peter's always asked questions. You know, he asked some really good questions. He's like, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? You know? And he's not just trying to get off the hook, really, but it's like he's checking, are the parables for the religious teachers and the people of Israel who've just not been watching out for Jesus to come? Or is it about the accountability that all the disciples of Jesus face any and every day, not just then as well, for us now? And will face as well at the end of time when Jesus returns to put into action the renewal of heaven and earth and to act as judge. Fair play to him for asking. But Jesus doesn't really answer, okay? If you read through again, you'll see he just tells the next story about being found doing the things. That's the way he answers. Tells a story about being found doing the things that Jesus has asked of us to do. Maybe there is a bit of both here. The people of Israel in Jesus' day, they did indeed miss the coming of the Messiah before their very eyes. They were neither watchful nor ready. That's after 400 years of silence from God. It's like he'd certainly caught them asleep, as it were. But it does also seem to be about the individual's accountability before God about how each one lives their lives. Have you been given much? Entrusted with much? Asked Jesus. Then with the knowledge that you have, the privilege that you have, comes responsibility. Much is asked of those who've been entrusted with much. What a challenge that is. It's interesting, these tales are found in very similar forms in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's as well, Matthew 24 and 25, when the focus, a lot of the focus is around the end of time and the return of Christ at the end of the age, Jesus coming as judge of all, in amongst ones as well around the sheep and the goats and so on. And we should read these stories and be challenged. One of the great things about the Gospels, you read through them, is you hear these brilliant invitations from Jesus. Can you come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What a beautiful invitation to enter into the fullness and to receive from him. But also, with invitation, you also have challenge. You know, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself, and so on. And the challenge here is about how we're living our lives at the moment. How are we at the end of each day? How have we done? Have we stewarded what we've been entrusted to at the end of each day? How are we at the end of our days? The day that we die? Or when Christ returns, how are we then? How have we lived our lives? We're accountable for all that we've been entrusted with. Now, thinking of those, well, you know, when's it going to happen? We don't know, do we? We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when Christ will return. There are some indicators, but we don't know. And that's despite it being a really popular pastime for people with nothing better to do over the centuries than to carefully work through all the scriptures and do the calculations to discover the exact date that Jesus is due to return. I was reminded this week that back in 1988, a little booklet came out. It was entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture, that's the return of Christ, will be in 1988. You can get that, 88 Reasons Why in 1988. And it contained a vast amount of ingenious reckoning that Christ would come sometime at the feast of Rosh Hashanah during a weekend in September 1988. Now, somebody did point out to the author that the Bible clearly says, Jesus was himself, we know neither the day nor the hour of Christ's return. But the response they got was, well, we may not know the hour or the day, but that doesn't mean to know we can't know the year or the month or the week, you know. So it was a big thing back in 1988. One bookshop had such an influx of calls about this book, 88 Reasons Why the Return of Christ Will Be in 1988. The assistant got fed up with having to tell the customers that they weren't stocking the book. And so he asked his superior, what can I say to them? And she replied to him, she said this, tell them to call again at the end of September, which I quite liked, yeah. So did the author who sold about 4.5 million copies ever return the royalties? Well, no, to our knowledge, he didn't. He did work out, though, that he got the calculations wrong by 1 year. And that Jesus was coming in September 1989. And so, there's a second book, The Final Shout, the Rapture Report 1989, and you can find it online. There are one or two booksellers list it, but I find it quite amusing. The sellers say they don't know when it will be in stock again. There you go. Now Jesus tells us these stories that meeting him can happen at any time, the most unexpected time, and we don't know when that's going to be. You see, because that's not the main question. The main question is, are you living ready? Are you living ready to meet Jesus each and every day? You could put that question in a slightly different way. How would we like Jesus to find us when we meet him? During the course of the day, all those many little encounters where we have that, we're aware of his presence at the end of our life, the second coming, how would we like Jesus to find us? And on the basis of these parables, I think God wants us to live awake and alert to his presence, attentive to what he's asked us to do, and aware that we're accountable to him. Let's just unpack that a little bit. Awake and alert to God's presence. You know, that first parable is certainly a wake-up call. And we're living in strange times. We've said that so many times, haven't we? COVID, the impact of that, massive, the horrors of a war in Europe and the constant coverage. And all those things affect us in one way or another. And we're not all together sure how it's left us and where it leaves us. And, you know, I think one pastor, I know, just so overcome with love for the whole of his flock, in exasperation, kind of just said, they're just not, he was thinking about a small proportion, he said, they're just not where they were spiritually. They're sleepwalking from the pandemic through into the endemic. It's kind of, what a powerful image, sleepwalking through life. We know from Jesus' story that he's looking for those who are watchful, those who are ready to serve, awake and alert to God's presence, as it were. And yet that challenge, are we sleepwalking? Another conversation I had was reflecting on the number of people who are asking big questions about life, the universe and everything. And that's people in their teens, in their 20s, right through to their 80s and so on. And the need there, people interested in faith, needing Christ, and needing someone alongside them to have the conversation, to listen to their story, to help just as they work through their questions and help them explore the truth we find in God's word. And as we're talking about that need, they were reflecting on the words of Jesus. Oh, the fields are white under harvest, he said at the time. And oh, the workers are so few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send some more. And the reflection said, no, there are many workers. They're just not around. They're just not around. And you can't help thinking, the steward number two, complacent. You know, so complacent, they can just do whatever they want to do. Well, the master's not going to be back a while yet. The party's got ages to go. Complacent and not doing good stuff either. And they're delaying tactics, you know. It's so easy to go into those, is putting off what God has asked of them. Ah, it's plenty of time. Plenty of time. It's a challenge, isn't there? There's so many challenges in this. Oh, we're so busy. We're too busy. We're too busy. Wow, that can be true in the lives that we lead, especially in the days that we live in. It can be so true. But there's a challenge as well. You know, in what ways are we busy? You know, are we so busy that we're asleep to God and we miss his coming? Are we so busy with, full of things that aren't always helpful? Or just are going nowhere? You know, are we too busy? Somebody else said to me, are we too busy doing Wordle, Global, Cordle, Nerdle, Worldle, Girdle, and all the other spin-offs of that? And what they were saying was, you know, are we too busy with stuff that really doesn't matter in the end? Don't get me wrong, I love Wordle. I think it's brilliant. You know, if you haven't had a go, do it. It's great. It works your brain. It's not addictive because you just get one go each day and that's it and you shut it. It's great. Fantastic. And you could communicate with others in your house, commiserate with others in your house or on social media and so on. And these things are good for the relaxing parts of our lives, which we need to build in, our rest times. But life is more than dot, dot, dot. What would the dot, dot, dot be for you if you had a conversation with Jesus? You know, are the things that you are doing in your life, things that renew and remake you for service, are they the things that are working out what Jesus has asked of you? Or is most of your activity unrelated to him, taking you away from him? Taking you away from just time with his people, which is so key, isn't it? Are there things that need to change or go just so we are awake and alert? Do you know, even as I say that, I totally know that there are many of us who feel tired, depleted in some way, just a couple of years of a pandemic and the ups and downs and so on, and people at work not there, and there's more for you to do, and then you're not there, and people, yeah, all sorts. And some of us can feel depleted emotionally, spiritually, and physically, close to burnout. And in all honesty, there's no quick fix to that. That requires a simple, slow, consistent choosing of those things that help fill and renew us and help us connect with God. You see, so even in that situation, the question remains, am I just stuck in a depleted state, or am I taking steps with God's help, the grace of God, to do those things that are helpful for replenishment and rest and renewal in Christ? You know, the taking time for rest, giving thanks to God for each small thing, lamenting the sorrows in life. And there are many with the things we live through and so many things that seem so right and have been so difficult. Am I doing something, you know? Or am I just got stuck? You know, the challenge to me in these parables is take steps. Make those changes. Are we awake and alert to God's presence? Secondly, I mentioned being attentive to what he's asked us to do. You know, I've already hinted at this. It's really all too easy to assume there's all the time in the world before we'll be called to account for how we've lived our lives and treated those around us. But Jesus doesn't mince his words here. There's a real now comes through in these parables. You just don't know. You just don't know. And now is the time to think about the things we're doing and how we're living. Now is the time. I don't know who it was, but I picked up somebody saying about the danger of discovering the word tomorrow. It was a really lovely phrase. The danger of discovering the world tomorrow. Because tomorrow, as a famous song says, tomorrow is always a day away, isn't it? Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. It's a helpful challenge in that. Some things are for tomorrow indeed. But, you know, actually, don't lose the sense and the urgency that comes through. Now, today, what has God asked of me? And am I doing those things? In the scope of my life at the moment, do I prioritize around that? I was thinking, well, how do you do this? How do you do this? One of the ways I did this several years ago now was kind of reflecting some of the monastic traditions of the ancient world. I set out to work out my rhythm and rule of life. That's their kind of phrase. What are the guiding principles and what does the shape of a week look like? And to do that, you do need some scriptures that God has brought alive to you and raised as highlighted as important for you and how you to live your life. You remind yourself of your primary calling and your secondary callings in life. And if you're a follower of Christ, your primary calling is you are a disciple of Jesus. Before anything else in your life, you are a disciple of Jesus. You know, as a church leader, that's true. I am a disciple of Jesus before I lead a church and all those other bits and pieces. That's part of the secondary callings. So list all those secondary callings. And then you kind of also work out what are the priorities, what are the big stones that God wants you to put in based on his word and all those other things that would help you not only to live a full life in Jesus, in the physical realm, the mental realm, the relational realm, the spiritual realm and all those other bits and pieces, but it's actually to make a difference for him in the way he calls you to. And what you're trying to do with all of this reflection bit is to try and boil it down to a phrase or two which says, this is what God is asking of me in this season, you know, in these moments of my life, in this season. So it's why it's this sort of thing that's really good to do. And it's great now if the school holidays are just coming, so maybe some of the groups aren't happening that you're normally doing, or there are some bank holidays coming up. Why don't you pencil in something now or get your phone out if you've got a calendar on your phone and just say, that time, I'm going to spend an hour or two just working through this. And then you could share it with somebody else. You know, working through, boiling it all down to a phrase, but knowing that there's this, 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 and this, make up that, so that we can be attentive to what God has asked of us in this season of life. I had a phrase which was loving God and living life well. And there were certain bits around loving him with my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength, lots of specific practical things that involved my being a pastor of a church, being a husband and part of a family and all those other bits and pieces. But that's how I could sum it up and say, am I being attentive to what God has called me to in this season of life, what he's asking of me? So that attentive to what he's asked of us. And finally, awareness that we're accountable to him. That's probably come through as I kind of summarize the stories at the start. I've got to say, the news headlines continue as they have been, sadly. There are politicians who have to step aside, their wrongdoings, shortcomings, but also church leaders, some high-profile church leaders, one or two recent ones. There's still some things to be worked through as to exactly what's happening. But just over the past few years, my heart has been broken time and time again over high-profile and influential leaders. And I cry out to God, in all honesty, I really do. And these people who've been influential in my life, I've seen them influential in others, and many have come to Christ and have a real and genuine life on with them, and yet they've had to step aside from ministry because of an area where they've fallen. And it makes you... I know that all those who are in leadership have special responsibility. As Jesus says in this, to all who've been given much, much is expected. And that works in every sphere of life. And the rest of the Bible tells us, especially church leaders, those who preach and teach, you're very accountable to that. So I'm heartbroken. And it makes you think, why? What can we do to ensure that we are in a good and healthy place? That awareness of the accountability each of us gives each day to our Lord and Saviour, and will give at the end of our days. There are some who've fallen who deliberately covered up actions that were not right, were not godly. There are others who are just tripped up in one area of life. And it makes you kind of think, we need to do the things that help avoid that happen. Help one another. Blind spots. You know, blind spot is those things that we miss about ourselves that often stand out to everybody else who knows us well. Someone was telling me the other day about their wife was walking around the house looking for her sunglasses and going everywhere, anybody see my sunglasses? And to anybody else, that it was obvious to everybody else because she had them on the top of her head, you know. And blind spots can be like that. And I encourage you to ask a few people you know and trust well, do I have a blind spot? Or what are my blind spots? And be ready to listen carefully, because we're called to account for how we live. It's just very practical. You know, just thinking about that, it's not just church leaders, it's all of us. It's all of us. There are other practical things. You know, you might be asking yourself now, or need to ask yourself, is there something to stop? Is there something to stop that's unhelpful, getting in the way of being ready to serve Christ, or just plain wrong? Is there something I need to stop? You know, if as I've been talking, something's come to mind, then resolve to take action on it. And the joy of doing that and taking action on it, if it was something that's plain wrong, you can be turning back to God. And as you do that, you say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And the welcome there, he's waiting for that. Even right now, he is waiting for you to do that. You can do that, whether you're sitting on your sofa at home or at a desk or you're here in this room here. The welcome is there. Something to stop. Or have you got something to start? Something that will help you keep yourself accountable, keep yourself close to God through the course of a day. There's a number of us from the church who signed up to help with the LICC. They're doing some work on spiritual exercises and some research. And what's lovely is that a whole bunch of people across the church have signed up to be part of that research. And right at the start, they did a little workshop, got us thinking about the start of the day and encountering God in his word, and at the end of the day and how you reflect and on your life during the day and things that you can do there. So, and then we've been having a go at doing that at some point in the day, or failing to do that, etc. And then the next bit, the next phase is like, well, what about different encounters with God on your front line in your workplace or in your home or where you volunteer? Those different little encounters with God and those things that could help, you know. And we were thinking about this last week, and they got us about thinking about the different places that you go in your workplace or the things that you do at home. And is there a way you could link that? They've got a couple of different things going. One of them was, is there a prayer that you can write every time you go in a particular place or do a particular thing? And then you just say that prayer And maybe it's a simple one that you repeat a couple of times and you're drawing close to God. Or maybe it's a verse of scripture that you take and take hold of for yourself and in that moment. So for me, you could think filling a kettle and at the kitchenette at work or at home and then putting it on to boil and waiting. That can be an invitation just to pause and to focus on God and draw close to him. Is there something to start that would help you draw close to him? And then you have, like a little phrase from scripture, based on scripture. Not by my own strength or power, but by your spirit, Lord, I pray. Could be a simple thing that you just say, and in that moment, you open yourself up to the presence of God, his power. You stop doing it all in your own strength, and you look to him and receive from him. And you're open to the, as you go on to the next thing, to do that with him. Do you know, as many of you know, I've got a sabbatical leave coming up. Starts on May the 9th and goes through to mid-August. So thank you so much to the church for giving us that. You'll remember Simon had the same last year and we didn't see him for a number of weeks. It's coming up fast for me, only 5 weeks away tomorrow. And so I'm not going to be around for several weeks. I'll get to see some other churches. I'll be able to do graduation with my son and various other bits and pieces of prayer time booked away, some books to read, all those kind of things. I'm going to the Holy Land, a trip to Israel, and I'll meet some Palestinian Christians and go and see some of those sites and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. First time I've ever been there, so I'm so excited about that. That's really great. Sorry, you didn't really need to know all of that, did you? But there'll be 10 people who still say, "You're going away?" And there'll be like loads of people who say, "Have you been away in the September?" But anyway, you know, so that's the main thing. But the thing is, I'm going to be back. For sure. Now, the question is, how will I find you when I get back? Or maybe the bigger question is, how are you going to find me when I get back? Now, that's more daunting because there's loads of people in a room all looking at me now. I feel very accountable to this. Now, how are you going to find me? There's a guy called Ignatius of Loyola who developed a spiritual exercise called Examine. And as a part of the review of your day, you're encouraged to think about those things that caused you to move towards God and those that took you away from God. Oh, my goodness. Will you have found that I've moved closer to God or away from him? You know, or will I find you? Awake and alert to God in your life or sleepwalking and missing so much of what God has planned for you. Attentive to what he's asking you to do or caught up with other things and stuck there. Aware that you're accountable to him for all that you are and all that you do. That's a real big challenge, isn't it? But then it reflects the challenge of Jesus teaching here with these stories. How are you going to find me? How am I going to find you? I think we need to pray. And I think we need to respond to God. And in these moments, and it's a chance for you to say, "Yes, Lord, this is how I want to be and who I want to be." And I'm going to pray now. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come up as well. And they're going to lead us in a song as well, which says, "Hey, Lord, I'm going to lay it all out before you. To serve you is the greatest thing, and unless you are helping me build this house, the house of my life, well, it's all in vain." So let's pray as part of our response, and then we'll sing as well, shall we? Father, we thank you again that through Jesus, we have so many wonderful invitations to come to you, to experience your love, to know you, to know freedom from our past, and your presence right now and hope and purpose for the future. Oh Lord, we hear the challenge that comes through your word this morning. Wake us out of the slumber in the aspects of our lives where it's needed, we pray. Help us to spot the changes in what we do or how we connect with others or how we go about the routines of each week. Help us to spot them and to make the changes you want. We want to be attentive to you and to be doing the things that you've called us to. So yes, Lord, wake us up. Guide us, lead us in your truth, we pray. Yes, come. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, come upon us. Open our eyes. Help us face the truth about ourselves. Give us the will to change and the determination to do those things that will make you happy, we pray. I give myself afresh to you this morning. Do your work in me in such a way that I might bring you glory because it's you in me at work. In Jesus' name, amen.